Are you full, Potter?
No. Good?
No, he's no, that's tummy why full. He's eating.
I'm eating my sandwich.
We're sorry to interrupt Joshua Potter's dinner for a podcast. Hello, everybody. The Way We Nerd is back. I'm Daniel Villalobos, and eating his sandwich.
Joshua Potter.
Diagonally from him.
Oh, Kyle Bound.
And our guest nerd today, sitting next to Potter.
Elena Zaltor.
There you go. We have no Mr. Moorhead this week. This week, yes.
Yeah, because I haven't seen him since like Monday.
Because he's a little under the weather. Apparently he's got Zika. Is that the virus? Zika?
Yeah, it's with a Z.
No, he doesn't really have that. He just, I think he just probably has a tummy ache.
Because this is us, I want to do a quick aside on the Zika virus.
Sure.
Okay.
This is the beginning of the end for humanity, right?
I would think so.
Like, the second there's a virus that part of it, like, causes children that you birth to basically be non-viable, like, that's the beginning of the end. If this, like, can somehow start spreading from person to person beyond, like, sexual contact, we're fucked.
Very, very true, but I think the fact that Donald Trump is a presidential candidate is already sign of the end of times. So, since I told you the other day, that it's proven that Darwinism doesn't work for humans anymore because we still have the weakest part of our species still living and voting for that asshole. Anyway, we're going to step off politics because for some reason we almost always start talking about it, but we always steer it away.
It's important right now.
There's some good nerd news to talk about. There's some stuff that I saw that we should definitely save for an escape pod. There's some building up some Star Wars stuff. I think Rebels premieres
this Saturday. Weekend.
Saturday, yes. Saturday. And so we're going to have a lot more escape pods during that show. But first, how I want to start the show is I want to get to know Elena a little more. How do you know this group?
Well, I'm engaged to Potter here.
Yes, she is.
I'm so sorry.
Took him six times asking, but she finally said yes.
No, he wore me down. So I know the rest of you guys through him.
And we are glad for that. Yes. And we'd kick him out if you asked us to, and then add you to the group if you wanted. So
that's fair.
Because I think this is, and this is perfect for a nerd podcast, this is the first female we've had on our show.
It is.
That is sad, but that
breaking
is true.
You are.
Breaking glass ceilings.
We're about to have our first barriers. We're about to have our first woman president. Now we have our first female way we nerder.
It's pretty much the same. It's exactly the same.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
It's not.
I wonder how many people, when that picture that I posted with Brendan from last week. It had the Hillary cut out in the background. It does really look like that's her almost. Like if you look quickly, because she's so short and little, and we kind of are all crowding her.
Yeah.
So I wonder how many people actually believe that Hillary was on our podcast. I hope they did. That'd been awesome.
Good old Hill Dog.
Here's the thing. If you're seven right now, Hillary will also be your first white president.
Dude, Zach Galifianakis, did you watch that?
Yes, I did.
The two first?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. Did you guys see that?
Yes, no. That was pretty awesome.
Oh, it was so good. You have to watch it. It's so good. Those Obama one was great, too. So, I mean, not surprising. And Trump's not going to do it because Trump doesn't have the balls.
But Obama has the personality that you expect him to do well in something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Hillary, like, just her deadpan was perfect.
She was so. And the thing is, not that she did much in Broad City either, but her appearance there, she does have more charisma than people, I think, give her credit for. And
she has, like, one-on-one charisma as opposed to
that's true.
Filling a stadium.
Charisma. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, well, it's going to get interesting when the debates come next week. So, that's the first debate I look forward to, like, a sporting event. Because I've never been into politics, but this has gotten me into it. Anyway, let's get
back on politics.
That's all right. Into politics again.
Politics,
it's important.
So, anyway, so...
That's true.
There's a couple of Mad Max news bits that Potter had mentioned. Yeah, so I was to go back to Mad Max Fury Road, the fourth movie. Elena, have you seen it, right?
I have. Okay. Yeah.
She saw it.
All four of us
have
seen it. Actually. That's right. We saw it at the Chinese. We need to start doing that again.
I wasn't with you guys.
You were there for that one?
Yeah, I saw it by myself.
All right. If I remember right, her favorite part is towards the end. When the guy gets all of the hoses like ripped out of his back,
and then
the jaw and everything, I'm
yeah,
pretty
that
sure
was super gnarly,
yeah,
disgusting.
Yeah. It wasn't.
Yeah, I'm sensing this was a conversation afterwards after
it was.
The movie. Okay,
it totally was.
My general reaction to that movie was that was disgusting.
That's
fair.
But it was awesome.
Really gnarly.
It was just disgusting.
It was. I loved Mad Max Fury Road for the technical achievement it was.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't as over the moon as all the other nerds in the world who love that series and then apparently love this movie. Like, some were saying it was life-changing. I'm like, well, it's just a movie. You know, I mean, I love movies. Movies in general can be life changers, but one is just a movie. It's, you know,
But again, this one I have to commend because they essentially they made a 2-hour chase sequence into a movie. That movie is essentially a 2-hour chase. And it's interesting the whole way through, except for about 15 minutes in the middle. It gets a little slow, but who cares?
I guess my problem with it is there's not really much of a story. I mean, and then there's like there's a few things that you're supposed to kind of take. Like it's underdeveloped, the relationship between Furiosa and what was the Injun Joe? No, not Injun Joe. That's from Mark
Morton
Twain.
Joe.
Some guy.
There you go, Morton Joe.
Yep.
Yeah, the guy with the mask. So
Charlize Theron and some dude.
Yeah, and some dude.
And that other dude.
But I loved her in it. Mad Max is kind of an afterthought. I don't even think he, you know, he's like Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, inconsequential to the plot.
I'm okay with that, though.
No, it's fine, but it's just, you know, I look forward. The pieces of news, okay, let's get to the news. Sorry. The two pieces of news are, and they center on Furiosa, one of them does, there's a prequel has been announced. Maybe we're going to get that relationship that I think the movie was lacking.
And it's filming sooner rather than later, apparently.
Yeah. Is George Miller directing it, or is he just producing?
I don't know. I haven't looked that up yet.
Wait, did they have a relationship before the movie started?
Not Mad Max, because this is going to be Furiosa.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, I'm sorry, I was talking about the relationship
between... I don't know who the fuck that character is, because the movie basically just didn't have characters.
Exactly. That's my point. Like, there's not really much substance to it. But it's such a, like, the stunts, the way it was filmed, the music, everything about the technical aspect of it, it was,
I recently watched, it was floating around this, like, cut-together thing of all of the raw footage of Mad Max, and maybe you guys have seen it. But
without
it
effects,
just,
yeah.
Yeah, without effects, without anything, and I just had this light bulb moment of, oh, I get it now. This movie is just an excuse for stunt drivers.
Yeah.
This is an excuse for them to, like... Hey, we're cool too. Yeah. We're out here. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I get it now. And then, it doesn't need characters, I guess, then.
It doesn't. And like not like the acting is very, you know, I mean, Charlize was great and Max,
hey,
and Tom Hardy was cool.
Tom Hardy had 10 distinct grunts throughout that whole movie.
I really did like Nicholas Holt though, who played that crazy guy that was an older guy or whatever he was saying.
Yes. Okay, so the news is prequel.
And the other piece of news
is Furiosa-based prequel and the
which you brought up,
pointless edition.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah,
good. Like, so I'm not the only one who thinks that's pointless. The black and white edition. What?
Yeah, black and chrome.
Why is that black and chrome?
I think they're calling it black and chrome.
Okay.
So black and white. I mean, it's going to be. Yeah.
It's for the pretentious among us.
Now, I have to know who are
still watching that movie.
Well, I'll say this: if it does come out, and the chrome edition has the original version on it too, I might buy it since I don't even have the movie. And I have the other three. I love the Road Warrior. That's the second one in the series.
Yeah.
I still think it's the best one.
I think so too.
And it's one of my favorite movies ever. But all right, that's enough of Mad Max.
Here's my thought.
You're the one who brought it up too.
No, you brought it up originally, and then I reminded you because we didn't have time to talk about it last week with Brendan here. I could see it being really cool, or at least pretty. We'll put it that way. Pretty if they developed. "Quote unquote," develop the footage kind of in the Silver Linotype style.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
Or I guess not Linotype, but the silver chemical process that they used to do with older black and white photos, and it's really toxic. But well, it is, and more so.
Is this shot on film? I assume then.
Well, yeah, but I mean, yeah. This so like photos in the past, black and white photos, you could put them through another chemical process to. Inject a silver quality to the grayscales to produce some really cool effects in your black and white photography. So if they did that, quote unquote, with this Mad Max edition, and of course they're not going to process it like that, but it would be a post
digitally,
it would be a post, you know, effect kind of thing. But that could be kind of cool.
Would I
buy it? No, but I'd be interested in watching it.
You watch some clips on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fair.
We'll end on this, unless anybody else has any thoughts. I understand why George Miller wants to do it because this is the original cut he wanted that the studio said no to.
Right.
I understand his motivations. However, the studio's just doing it to make money. 100%.
What?
Which there's nothing wrong with that either because we are in a business.
Capitalism?
So, if you keep paying for it and keep buying, like I bought pretty much every Star Wars edition that's ever come out. I even bought the DVDs that had the uncut original versions, like the theatrical versions. terrible. It's like the
horrible
VHS
transfer.
Yeah, VHS transfer. But I don't care because I wanted those on DVD. And I still watch those more than I watch special editions, unless I watch Blu-ray, obviously.
That's fine. I will never give up my original VHS copies where Greedo shot Honcho at first.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Keeping Greedo all that.
Didn't shoot at all, really.
And Honcho
just sat there like a loser.
Lando to trust him at the end instead of, it's all right, I can see a lot better.
What the fuck
was that? Oh, my God. Anyway, so...
that was a good sandwich.
Tell us about the sandwich, Potter.
It was good. It was simple.
I don't miss Moorhead anymore.
You just hate me a little more? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, you've like combined into one person.
Well, you're going to have to take over for Moorhead and try to get under my skin and get me upset.
Oh, I will.
Okay, good.
No.
Well, let's see.
Not with our main topic today. I think we're all going to just be ranting.
That's going to be a fun topic. Awesome. It's going to be a fun topic. We'll surprise you guys with what that is. And one of the biggest reasons Elena's here, not just being almost married to Potter. Anyway, did anybody see the Passengers trailer? That's the word.
Yes.
So, what do you guys think?
I'm in.
All in.
Yeah. 100%.
She's the one that told me to watch it. And I was like, what? I don't understand. And then I watched it. I was like, yeah. Okay.
And I liked it.
No, I did too.
I'm in too.
I totally got it. I was like, Passengers. This is going to be some
chick-flicky
thing. But
That was fine with me. A chick movie in space, I'm cool with that.
Chris Pratt. So, that's all I need.
But apparently
Chris Pratt's
not.
In it.
No, it's not. But I'm just saying, like, even if it was what Potter was saying.
Apparently it's really funny, is what I've heard.
It has Chris Pratt and
Justin
Lawrence.
I mean, I can understand that.
The
trailer didn't seem funny.
Somebody we spent a little time with, I don't want to get too specific, has read the script at a previous place they had worked. And said it was hilarious and just loved the script immediately.
Cool.
We have Star-Lord and Katniss in space together. I mean,
it's true. The trailer sells more of the thriller aspect of it.
It does.
But which I'm fine with. If it just as long as they can balance, like, you know, Moorhead would have been here to say this, balance the tones well, because obviously it's going to have a few, or at least what we're hearing is correct.
My one critique or criticism of the trailer is,
they show too much?
They show too much, I think. And it's almost like, okay, well, I just watched the entire movie in this trailer. I still want to go see it because I know that's not the entire movie. And I feel like this is going to be not in the same way, but a similar situation to Ghostbusters, where we get a very different trailer from what the final cut of the movie is going to look like in play.
I think more trailers are going to do that now. They're realizing that kind of works. Because, I mean, unfortunately, especially for international audiences, you've got to give them a reason to come because actors aren't it anymore. We talked about this recently. You know, actors aren't the draw they once were. Directors kind of are. Like, people will go out to see the Christopher Nolan movie or a Scorsese movie. Although they didn't go out for Spielberg, so even that's starting to lose it.
Well,
so,
and that's why I remember this, because I didn't even think about it, and I was like, oh, that's kind of racist or stereotyping, but I guess I kind of get it. The Chinese and Japanese trailers for Force Awakens, they included a lot more shots of droids and technology and all of that.
And their Asian stars.
Versus the actors, yeah, because they knew that would appeal more to the audience, the general audience there versus...
I don't think that's racist. I think that's just playing to a culture's, like, what they're into, you know?
Passengers
plays up the relationship with the two most likable stars out there, or arguably the two most likable movie stars out there right now. So.
Yeah.
And that's what we like, but we also like a good story around it, and Passengers look like, yeah.
Right.
We don't have to talk about the Star Wars part, it's just something really quick. Have you heard this rumor that Disneyland is going to not let, put a hold on for 2 months when Star Wars Lands opens on annual pass holders? You heard this?
So you can't go in if you're an annual pass holder?
You can only go in if you're an annual pass holder. Like, you can't use your pass. Like, you have to pay.
You have to pay.
For the first 2 months, because they don't want people, like, just coming nonstop and clogging it up and taking away money they would be making on tickets from people who... Because, you know, Disney...
I will get rid of my annual pass.
No.
No, there's no... No, I...
You still keep it. Like, they...
Yeah, no,
just,
no, I know.
But you're gonna
I understand
have to
that
pay.
I'll be able to
yeah.
keep it,
yeah.
but...
But then you have
no.
to...
No. Oh, you're telling them, fuck
yeah.
Disney, or, I got you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because that's... Man. This is just a rumor, and Disney hasn't confirmed this, but I can understand, because I'm thinking to myself, when that place opens, it's probably going to get filled to capacity.
Oh, easily.
Sure.
Not.
Easily.
Especially in the beginning.
And it will be for a while.
Yeah, and especially if it's as good as it sounds like it's going to be. So,
well,
because they have a lot to live up to because of Harry Potter.
It will be.
So have we all been to Harry Potter World?
Not yet.
You guys haven't been there yet?
No, we got to go. We will.
Name is Potter.
I know. God.
Anyway,
my family's been.
I just had to bring that one. I just had to bring that one up just because that really bugged me.
No, here's my take on that too. Is that they've already raised the price for a one day park hopper pass.
When is the park supposed to open?
I don't know.
They haven't announced a date, right?
But they've already raised the price there, so that tells me, okay, they're raising the price to help offset the cost of Star Wars and the other park improvements. Okay, I get that, but now we hear that they might be doing this to the annual pass holders, and I think that's pretty shitty, honestly, because these are annual pass holders who are most probably renewing their pass every year,
and you are now going to...
You know, not reward that loyalty by saying, "Oh yeah, sorry, but your pass is no good here. You have to pay to get into the park."
And we're two of those kind of Disney goers that don't bother to leave the park to go get food. We just fucking eat there because we want to stay in Disneyland.
Absolutely.
So most people who get annual passes do that. So we spend a lot of money there, and to take this away, yeah, that's kind of fucked up. But anyway,
we'll see if it happens.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no confirmation. It's just rumors, but we'll see what happens.
Rumor and hearsay. Well, and part of the reason they're raising prices, just to go down that rabbit hole, is they're getting too many people buying annual passes, too many people going to the park. Like, they can't fit the demand they have.
Yeah. Which is a great
problem. So they're raising all their prices, and hopefully less people will buy passes, and they can...
From what I understand, Disney, even though there's not much land left out there, Disney keeps buying land up.
Yes.
And if they could, they would bulldoze all those houses behind them and put those poor people out of
Take out half Anaheim.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because if they need to get as big as Disney World, because Disney World probably doesn't have this problem because there's so many things to do and so many places to go.
They don't. Yeah. I mean, you have all of Epcot, and that's a huge park.
And Universal over there, I think, is a lot better than our Universal.
It is. Well, dollars, and right? the difference...
More theme parky.
Yeah, exactly. The difference is, yes, there are still some sound stages there, and it's still a quote-unquote studio, but it's not used nearly as much as Universal Studios out here. It's definitely more set up to be a theme park versus a working studio plus some rides.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, sticking with Lucasfilm, I didn't know this. What the hell? Animated Indiana Jones movie?
Yeah, this was a thing that came onto my radar.
It's coming out like 2 weeks.
Well, no, it's not even a Lucasfilm thing. So apparently, I would have to look up the guy's name.
So no Harrison Ford. Never mind.
No, but
so it's just some dude.
It's
is it Kevin Conroy?
Some guy that they hired to design what Indy would look like in animated form
because
they
saw
were
that.
Interested in pursuing it. So at first I was like, "Oh, this is really cool fan art," and then I read more into it, and I was like, "Oh, so Lucasfilm was going to pursue an animated indie movie, or at least thinking about it when they were kind of trying to expand the universe." Well, now they didn't do anything with it, and this guy was like, "Well, I'm a huge fan. I'm going to put something together, and it would be a shame if they didn't want to use it after that. Say, yeah, let's make this a series, or let's do a limited run cartoon or something like that." So I guess he's put together, it's not really even a short film, it's a very, very short sequence, I guess, of animated Indy, because I think he did everything himself with the help of some assistants. So he doesn't really have an animation department behind him, it's literally this fan doing this, because he was originally hired by Lucas.
So what's happening on 9/29?
That's when it's releasing, on the web, basically, for people
and
watching.
And Disney's cool with that?
Since it's a fan thing... They're not going to say anything. And
I don't know. They seem to be pushing back on Star Wars fan stuff. Although, have you guys seen that Star Wars podcast?
I'll Star Trek is worse. Star Trek fan films have a lot more restrictions now. A
lot of restrictions.
Which is just silly.
They're screwed. They can't finish. They can't,
Yeah.
That sucks.
It's because some of those series were actually good.
Exactly.
And they were threatened by that.
And people
like,
are putting money
in.
Yeah. The storytelling is better. So, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Tell better stories. That's what you're going to do. Why don't you just hire these people the way the government hires hackers? It's like, you keep breaking into our system. Want to work for us?
Yeah.
You know, so anyway.
I'm sure it'll be on YouTube or this guy's website, but probably linked to YouTube. So more on that when it releases, I guess.
I just have a couple more things before we get into the meat of the pod. I wanted to ask you guys, did anybody here watch American Horror Story?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. I watched the first two seasons I watched all the way through. I watched most of Coven, and then I stopped. I didn't finish Coven because I was like, okay, I'm not interested in this anymore.
Right, we won't talk about this for long, but I watched the first half of the first season and fell off it. Like, when it was first on, I was just like, eh. But I've always been fascinated by Roanoke, and apparently this new season might have something to do with that. So I don't know. That's why I was asking if you guys saw it, because
I know if it actually is,
and I should watch her.
There's lots of spider type things happening, I guess, this season that are
creepy dolls in the commercials and just like,
yeah,
I don't need to watch it. Never
mind. Jump back on.
Sorry, moving on. Moving on.
Take one for the team.
Moving on.
Report back.
I just
don't
want
to do it, Josh. Don't do it.
Hey, yeah.
This is. I'm gonna. So, I want to make an appeal to all the nerds out there, and then the three that are in here. That you, if you guys haven't. If you've jumped off this show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you guys still watch it?
We need to jump back on.
My parents are huge fans, actually. And
yeah.
It's gotten better.
Yeah.
It sucked for a while. Like,
yeah.
Hard. But mostly it was because they were handcuffed because of the storytelling, because of they couldn't do much because of Captain America, Civil
mm-hmm.
War, or not Civil War, the what was it called?
Winter Soldier. Yeah.
So as the season one, and the second half of season one and most of season two suffered, but the third season was really good, and this fourth season, I think, is it just starting fourth?
I think fourth is starting.
It is the fourth.
Yeah.
I got halfway through three and just couldn't get into, like, the...
I don't like the Inhumans.
Yeah,
I don't like the Inhumans.
Well,
I don't like them in the comics either, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like the X-Men, but it's not the X-Men. Because they're... And that's kind of how they're set up even in the comics, too. I know that they're from another planet and all of this stuff, but... It's the X-Men. It's mutated, evolved human characters, whatever.
Yeah.
And
they're doing this because they don't have the rights to the X-Men. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. This is Marvel. The Marvel Cinematic Universe is X-Men right now. So
sometimes I realize, and I'm sure you guys have caught this out there listening, sometimes I'm reading my notes and I stop listening to what these guys are saying.
And
I totally repeat what they just said as if I'm just breaking news.
No, that's fine.
Sometimes Dan repeats what we say.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes things get repeated.
That sounds like
and
a
it's things
tang
that we've said.
Pui-tang!
No, I will say this on the topic of X-Men real quick. Have you guys seen Deadpool?
I'm not done with
the
Shield.
No, that's fine. Just as a little aside. Deadpool being inserted into the Civil War battle at the airport.
Yes!
With Spider-Man and Cap. Oh, man. It is...
Is it Ryan Reynolds doing the voice, too? Or is it...
I don't know. I don't... think so, or maybe they pulled some from it, but I don't think it's him. Yeah, but
it's not official, obviously.
No, it's pretty brilliant, though.
Be.
And they've got this guy in costume drawing Spider-Man, and then Spider-Man, you know, whips up and stuff right next to Deadpool, and he looks and he's like, "Oh my God, it's Spider-Man!" Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, here's to still hoping that Fox loses the right to the X-Men, so they can go back to Marvel. But
yeah, that'll never happen.
That'll never happen because they're going to just keep making X-Men movies to keep the rights.
Pump out the shit, no matter what.
The reason I mentioned Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and why everyone out there should jump back on if you're off, including you guys, is someone's done Ghost Rider right. Now, when I was a kid, Ghost Rider, like obviously I read Spider-Man and I read Batman. I did read Superman already, but. Ghost Rider and Punisher were my guys. Like those were the two comics that I bought every time a new one came out. I bought as many oldish back issues as I could. I read them over and over again. Like I love those characters, and they're doing them right with Jon Bernthal on Daredevil with the Punisher, and now Ghost Rider and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The cool thing about this one is they've used a Ghost Rider I'm not familiar with.
It's the newest one.
Yeah, Robbie Reyes, who doesn't drive on a motorcycle. He drives in a badass GTO. I think it's a GTO.
It's a GTO, or it's an old...
it's an old muscle car.
An old Challenger or Charger.
And the tires light on fire, and it looks sick. And he looks like his... The flaming skull looks perfect, and it's not... And I loved Nicolas Cage in the first two movies because they're so bad.
They're so bad, but they're fun.
Because Nicolas Cage.
Oh, we can watch them. They're
shit. And it's
a Nicolas Cage movie,
dude. Like
he's gonna overact.
Oh my God!
Especially the second one because Idris Elba's in it, and even he can't save it.
Sorry.
Oh,
that's the
did he hurt
leg.
You?
No. I just grabbed her leg, but it's right where she.
I saw her face right
good
there.
Times.
I was like, whoa.
Good times. And I keep forgetting that.
And that's how I felt when I saw Ghost Rider.
So anyway, no. Kyle, I recommend just watch. I don't even think you need to watch the end of the third season. You could just kind of
you can read up and skip over.
Yeah,
probably,
I mean they do
probably.
A little. Well, they do
find
a little
clips on
last season on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
and they give you enough, but just watch the episode just to see because Ghost Rider looks like he's going to be interesting and his backstory too.
Yeah.
So.
I will say my first...
I have to watch, like, all of the other television first.
I understand.
And maybe
whatever.
I'll get to it.
It's funny that you grew up kind of reading Ghost Rider and Punisher, because I think I had one Punisher comic as a kid,
And Ghost Rider was guest.
And I kind of kept it hidden in a way because my parents were cool with me buying comics, but yeah. I got one of those in like a 3-pack from the grocery store back when grocery stores still had the 3-pack comics. God, that dates me a little bit. So I would go into, and it was this little local store called Gerb's, and it's actually owned by the same company that owns Ralph's. It's all Kroger, I think. Yes, useful I'm getting that. I know, so useful. If you're ever in Missouri, go to Gerb's.
Missouri. Whatever. We need you just sitting there every podcast yes. to just stop him.
It's true. So yeah, I got. I don't remember what issue of The Punisher it was, but I was reading and I was like, yeah, this is awesome. And then I was like, I can't let my parents know that I have this because yeah. it's really violent.
It is very violent.
And then I wound up, did you ever read Spirits of Venom? It was It started in Ghost Rider and Blade. So I'm going to do Amazing Spider-Man. That was my first introduction to Ghost Rider, actually. And I was like, I love Ghost Rider, and Blaze is pretty awesome too.
There is an amazing comic with those two and Wolverine called Hearts of Darkness. So
yes,
I'm just very excited because they're just really doing the Ghost Rider right, and the actor Diego Luna.
Is it Diego?
Or is
Luna?
It Gabriel Luna? I'm sorry, Gabriel. I don't know if Gabriel they're related, Luna. But it's Gabriel Luna is this one because he favorited one of my tweets because I tweeted him. I was like, "Great job, dude!
That's awesome." I think it's great they're doing this version of the character and diversifying.
Yeah,
their cast too. I think that's fantastic.
That too. So anyway, before we lose Kyle too much because of all this stuff.
I'm already gone.
he's looking up
Let's talk about a subject that Kyle's been clamoring to talk about with me, but I was going kind of slow.
For like years.
Well, wait, do we want to do that first or do we want to do the other one?
Was there some more? What's the other one before it? Oh, let's do that one first.
We could do that one real quick.
I want to end on the other one.
Yeah.
So go for it.
I agree. So South Park is out.
Oh,
new
my
episode,
God, yes.
A new episode airs. Or aired last night.
Yes,
I guess.
It did.
We have not watched that yet, but
no, it was good.
Let's talk about the first episode a little bit. Remember the first episode? I remember.
Remember Star Destroyer?
Remember Chewbacca? I love to remember Chewbacca. God.
Have you seen it, Dan?
I'm sorry, I stopped paying attention for a second because I haven't seen the new one, no.
Dan stopped paying attention.
Did you see the premiere?
I stopped paying attention for that reason. Yes, I did.
Okay, we're talking about the premiere. They haven't seen the second episode either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we're talking about the premiere. Sorry, okay.
The first episode of this new season.
I didn't realize that what's his name was going to stay principal.
PC principal.
Yeah. That guy.
The show is fully serialized
it is,
now.
It is.
In a
since
great
last
way.
Season.
Did that? Yeah. Did they kill off that original principal, or is she still alive in the show?
Principal Victoria, she's alive.
It seems
like something that'd be something they would do.
I don't remember what happened.
Remember when they killed off?
She got fired, didn't she?
They
killed off the bus driver.
I do remember the bus driver.
They announced they were going to kill off a major character. That's who they killed. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's like, well, she's been on it since the first episode.
Kenny, how long has Kenny been gone now?
No, he's back. He's still there, isn't he? Is he dead? Like dead?
Kenny's still. Yeah,
he
no.
wasn't.
He's still. He wasn't in that first episode.
I know he was dead.
He's not
when
in the second episode
either. When did they
either.
Cut him off?
Yeah,
I don't remember, but I don't think Kenny's around.
I thought
anymore.
They just stopped doing the whole thing where they.
He's still in
Kenny.
The opening credits, but yeah, they. I mean, they.
They have a
Kenny was gone for a while, then he came back.
Yeah, well, they have a crypt, or they have a headstone that says "Rest in Peace, Kenny McCormick." In the opening, and I saw that, and I was like, "Is Kenny dead?"
I'm kind of okay with that, at least for now, too, because Butters is just awesome.
I love Butters.
That's
who took his, it was Tweet that took this place the first time.
Yeah,
I love Butters. Butters is my favorite.
Oh yeah, same here. He has character development and progression. He changes as a character. I mean, all of the other boys pretty much stay the same. All of the other characters stay the same. But Butters actually has a character progression and development throughout the whole series. And it's pretty awesome, actually.
Dude, what's interesting right now, though, is as far as characters changing, is Cartman.
Yeah.
You know, as we're sort of in this premiere... You're sitting around with everybody else like, oh, yeah, it's him. He's Skank Hunt 42.
Yep.
And then he's not.
Well, I guess we should say spoilers, obviously, but...
No, for South Park.
Yes, but
it's weird.
I know, right? That is
true.
A weird thing to say. I mean, he still has his moments. Like, he comes up to the guys, and he's like, guys, I got beat up by the girls, and they drew a vagina on my face. Right. And...
balls. The balls.
That was pretty funny, yeah. I was like, why does their vagina have balls?
Don't vaginas have balls?
What do they have if they don't have balls?
It is.
Oh, God. It's
besides
so good.
That, I mean, that's kind of classic South Park toilet humor. But the
so
writing
well.
And the topical stuff is still so sharp and so smart, even in the 20th season.
Just wait till you get to...
I
wish we were having
we'll
this conversation after
it.
You guys had watched last night's episode.
We'll go
it's
home
just,
and watch
there's
it.
An amazing, like, metaphor.
I love that they, that's I mean, they so get J.J. Abrams to reboot the National Anthem. First of all, the whole thing is about, it's a slam
on
reboots.
I saw that part.
They mention Ghostbusters in there.
Oh, wait,
especially
the
with
one.
Girls Are Cool,
one.
Shut Up, Get Over It, you know, the
it's
carton
funny,
thing.
Say something funny.
Yeah. So,
talk about your vagina.
Say vagina.
It's just great. And then the whole calling Kaepernick thing. You know, and kneeling during the national anthem, all of that. They have all of the big topics in the media right now. They have skewered completely with that first episode, and it's great.
Well, that's what's so amazing about those guys, because they literally write the episode like the week before, just so they can be that topical.
Yeah,
they
like
don't
the thing
start until 6 days before.
Yeah,
and then the thing
is
animated.
Like,
that is an amazing documentary.
It is such a good documentary. If you haven't watched it, watch
perfect.
It. Yeah, it's
it gives you appreciation.
So
just and obviously, I love Matt Stone, but it just gives you a. It shows how genius Trey Parker is, and I mean Matt even gives him that credit. Matt's
absolutely.
Like Trey is the guy. You know, like they did it together, but you know he acknowledges Trey is the guy. Like he's the one you have to get the jokes past.
Yeah.
If you make him laugh, it's like Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld and the Seinfeld writers' room. If you make them laugh with one of your jokes, you know that joke's getting in the show.
Yeah, right.
So.
Right. Yeah. It's great. And if you're not a fan of South Park, it doesn't matter. Or if because I will say this for a while, like once I was kind of old enough to appreciate South Park, and this was maybe 3 years after it had started, because my parents were very much against, like, no, you're not going to watch that. That's toilet humor. It's not great.
Kids should not watch that.
But
show. I agree with your parents on
that. I agree too. But come around on that full circle now. I've gotten my parents to watch some episodes of South Park, and they have laughed throughout the whole episode. And I'm like, see, it's not just blanket, you know, toilet humor and gross out stuff. Sure, there is some of that. But it's usually to poke fun at whatever, you know, topic they're poking fun at, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just...
It's for satire.
It is, yeah. It's satire, and it is some of the sharpest, smartest writing on television still.
My first year of college was when that first episode of South Park came out. Did we watch the first one? I don't think we watched the first one. I think my roommate came in and said, dude, we have to watch a show called South Park. It's on tonight. It's like the second or third episode, but we have to watch it. And it was the Halloween one. It was the one where they were all turning into zombies.
Right.
Oh,
the
pink
first
eye.
Halloween.
Yeah,
the
pink
eye.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I remember we laughed so fucking hard. And I think it repeated, like, right after. So we watched it again.
Oh, yeah. I remember when it first... I was in middle school when it first came out. We watched the first one. And then we're like, oh, my God, when's it on again? When's it on again?
Yeah.
We watched it, like, six times that first week.
They
just constantly re-aired it.
I cannot believe I have been watching South Park for 20 fucking years.
Yep.
Like, that's insane to me.
It is.
And my show, as far as that goes, my parents wouldn't let me watch with Beavis and Butthead, but it's the same kind of thing. And then, although the funny thing is, you watch them now, and I'm not going to say they're tame, because they're not. Like, if you watched the first season
of... No, Beavis and Butthead is still...
It's still something you shouldn't show kids, and the same thing with South Park. Like, if the humor isn't... Like, you know, you would think it's going to get crazier and worse, but...
But
I think we might have peaked.
I would
with
say
South Park.
With South Park now, though, that the humor
Family Guy maybe, but
the humor has gotten smarter.
Yes,
that's what I would say. Like, sure, originally they started out and they leaned heavily towards more of the gross, inappropriate.
Yeah, it was Cartman getting an anal probe.
Yeah, I mean that was the very first episode.
Yeah,
but now they've really come into their own and figured out a formula that works. But they've gradually improved upon that and modified it, and it's. It's still, again, sharp and funny
comedy,
and satirical.
Comedy Central will give those guys money for the rest of their lives if they want to make that show.
As they
that
should.
Show will never go
as
off the air until they decide they don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, and I will say it seems like we've had, at least with season 19 and now this one, we've had longer breaks in between seasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
that
sucks, but at the same time I feel like, one, they probably need a break. They need
let them do that.
Stories
yeah.
to build up so that they can be like, oh, this is what's happened in the last 6 months. We're going to skewer the shit out of
it. It's the same thing with Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is why these shows are never going to get canceled, because basically they're just going to let their creators take a break. Yeah. And if they, like Larry's already said, he's like, the show's not over, but if I come up with an idea, you know, here we go. Let's do this. And HBO will say yes every time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. All those cartoons have The Simpsons to thank. Not forget about that.
That's true.
But.
Which admittedly should probably be done. But that's a conversation for another time.
No, no. I don't know. The Simpsons is still good. It's not as, obviously, it's not even close to Star Wars used to, but we could talk about that another time.
We can.
When the Simpsons premieres.
Yeah, I'll have to watch like a new episode
of Adult
we
should
all watch 7 years.
We should all watch the newest episode this season, and then we'll see where we're at. Because, but they usually pull out all the stops in the premieres and the finales and the holiday episodes. But we'll see what happens. Anyway, so are we ready for the main topic? Or does anybody have anything else?
So, yes.
Kyle's itching.
Let's
right.
do it.
Dude, I've been waiting for weeks. Plus, we'll get Elena more involved here because she's just like me, just coming off fresh. So, Elena and I just finished Fringe. J.J. Abrams, Robert Orci, and Kurtzman was also involved.
Yep.
All three. Is that the only three creators, or is there one more?
No, I think it's just the three.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Abrams obviously did his thing where he's like, all right, cool, I got it started. See you later. Went off and did movies, and then those guys took over and ran with it. And I'll say this, and I want to hear Lena's thoughts too. Overall with the series, first season, it took me a while to get into it. And I actually took a long break from first season to second season, like a year or two break.
Right.
Because I was like, I don't know if I like this. Like, it's cool, but it's like, I can't tell if it's Lost or if it's X-Files or if it's a little bit of both. And then the second season, it became its own thing. And I have a huge man crush on Joshua Jackson. ever since the first Mighty Ducks. You know, he's Charlie Conway.
Quack.
He's my boy. Quack.
That's
quack. Exactly. Yeah. Quack. And I was always a Pacey guy for Dawson's Creek. I called it Pacey's Creek. Even though I identified more with Dawson, I wanted to be Pacey.
Didn't we all? I don't know. I'm just saying.
But overall, I'm happy I watched it, and I could see myself maybe someday watching it again because I really did fall in love with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Because John Noble is absolutely amazing.
He's a class
as Walter,
act.
And
yeah.
He's great.
And Anna Torv, like she stole my heart with both Olivias, and we'll explain that in a second. If you guys have never seen Fringe, by the way, spoiler!
If you've never seen Fringe, just enjoy the rest of your day or night or whatever
fine.
It is.
Yeah.
You
move
can
on.
Tune out.
Yeah, tune out.
There's no point in listening to us.
Yes, exactly.
Aww.
Although if you also listen to Kyle, like you would just watch two seasons and then stop.
Three.
Oh, three. Okay.
But we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. So anyway, so Elena, what is your thought overall? Did you
overall,
dig it?
Overall, I loved it.
Okay.
But that show is like right up my alley. It's like you were saying, X-Files and Lost and I don't know, like a bunch of different shows that all come together. Also recently watched Alphas.
I want to see that one. That's a PlayStation show, right? Is that no? That's not the PlayStation.
I have no
show.
Idea.
Oh, Powers. That's Powers. I'm sorry. Alphas. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it seemed kind of experiment into. Hesitant to say genetic mutations, but you know,
yeah,
superpowers, but with normal people kind of situation.
Yeah, I gotcha. That was sci-fi then. Now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah,
it did that. Show,
yeah.
That show didn't finish though,
Alphas,
did it?
Alphas
it
got canceled before.
Yeah, it got. I mostly liked. What are there? Five seasons.
Five seasons.
So 1 through 4, I was like, yes, I'm following, and then season 5. End of season 4, beginning of season 5, I was like, what the actual fuck just happened? Suddenly we have a completely different show, and it kind of lasts me, and the whole, so there's only like 12 season or 12 episodes in the fifth season,
right.
As opposed to 20 or whatever, and season, episodes 1 through like 9, I'm like, maybe they'll tie it all back together. Maybe they'll answer questions. Episode 10 comes along. I don't think they're going to answer any of these questions. 11. Oh, this is ending now.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess we're done. And there's nothing answered. So, overall, I really enjoyed watching it, but they definitely fell apart in the end.
Yeah, I am 100% agreeing with you about the last season being a completely different show. I was so fucking lost. Like, I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
I restarted season 5 a couple times because I swore that Netflix,
I missed an episode or something?
Yeah, but Netflix skipped me ahead and was like, oh no, this is where you are. I'm like, no, I missed a season in here somewhere.
Yeah, it was... Yeah. Oh my God, that last season was, and that's the only one I own because I was telling these guys I was watching it on Netflix and on September 10th, and it was supposed to go off on September 11th. As soon as that last episode I was watching ended, it was because it was a little bit after midnight. At least they let me finish the episode. All of a sudden, this show is temporarily unavailable. I'm like, what? What? No! So I bought the last two episodes on Amazon, which luckily were only $1 and each. And then I bought the Blu-ray last season because it was $10 on Blu-ray. And Kyle pointed out last week, he's like, yeah, it's worth about that.
Mm-hmm. If that.
Maybe.
If that. Like, so anyway, now you heard how we felt. Kyle and Potter watched it when it was on, right? You guys watched it when it was...
Yeah, I watched it as it aired.
Okay. Yeah. So what are your guys' overall impressions?
Do you want to go first?
No, you go for it.
Okay.
I can't wait to hear Kyle.
All right, so...
Even though I have, but it's fun.
Season one hooked me, just because that's my kind of thing, and...
Should they say the second half of season one was better? It was the first half.
Yes, for some reason... I would agree.
When they were doing all the monsters of the week, I was just like... Eh.
But those were some of my favorite episodes of X-Files, honestly, more than the mythology episodes, and I know we've had those discussions about X-Files before, so it would make sense for me to like more of the monsters of the week thing, which means I would like Fringe more. But that was the first season.
With X-Files, it was just I liked both, but with Fringe, sure. I got bored.
Well, it's a different tone. And Fringe is more about the sciencey nature of these things versus the it's a monster and we're chasing it and it's this some weird supernatural creature that we have to bring down, or it's related to this mythological legend or this and that. No, Fringe is all based somewhat in science. I'll say somewhat.
With quotation marks around science.
Yes, quote unquote. They take very popular and very obscure fringe theories and they adapt them to their needs for the show, which totally fine with.
Absolutely.
It's cool.
Wait, is that a thing? Is fringe science like an actual thing?
Yeah, it's generally bullshit. But
yeah, but okay. It is.
But the show treats it as if they're real things.
They're really earnest with it. It totally works for the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does. And I was, even before season one started, I was hooked on the idea that, because some of the tags that came out for it and teasers sold it as, this group is using the whole world as their science experiment and this and that. I was like, this, I could see how that could be really interesting. It's, it's kind of dark. It could be insidious, if you want to use another good descriptor. But then you've got this team trying to solve for it. And then I knew the cast. I realized John Noble was going to be in it, just coming off of Return of the King. I was like, totally on board with that.
Good, Return of the King.
Man, yeah, he is. And it's... His performance is even better with the extended cut because he has more scenes and he really shows more of his range. Hmm. Anyway, I could talk about John Noble the rest of the night because he's that good. And then, of course, Joshua Jackson's in it. And I was like, I know Joshua Jackson. That's great. He'll really be good.
Him of the Quackens.
Yes, of the Quack. Yeah. I wasn't as familiar with Anna Torr, but I was like, this is the girl for the show.
She's very easy to fall in love with.
And it's one of those shows that it has a little something for everybody, even if you're not into the science-y sci-fi stuff. I applauded them for this. The very first episode, you have people melting on a plane in midair. Yeah. You have a co-pilot's jaw just drop off, which is disgusting, but it's awesome.
I do like that. Funny you mentioned that. I don't know if it was the fifth season or the fourth season. They did bring that up again. Like something happened in a later episode.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Let me finish up this thought.
Overall thoughts.
Season one and two, I thought were really solid. I thought three was pretty good. But three, I could start to see the tone kind of change. I was like, okay. I get it, we gotta keep the show going, we gotta reinvent it, change it up a little bit, keep it fresh. Fine, okay. Season four comes along, and it's this whole alternate timeline thing where some things happened, some things didn't, and I was like, all right, well, I'm committed now, so here we go. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed episodes, but overall, I could see the now quickening decline of the show's kind of, through point. And I think part of that is because Peter is sort of the driving force of the first two seasons, and the fact that he was saved and he's from over there, that's, you know, tearing these two universes apart, all of the incursions, everything else. And then you've got William Bell, who's going back and forth and creating all of the problems on the other side. So I feel like they, A, waited too long to introduce William Bell in the flesh, and B, they used Peter too quickly instead of spacing out his development as far as, I'm the key to saving both universes. So then season 4 and 5 come along, and suddenly it's like, well, hands up in the air. Let's just write down stream of consciousness ideas on note cards, throw them in the table, random draw them, and see what happens. And that's kind of what I feel like about season 4 and 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
But overall, you enjoyed it.
Overall, yeah, no, overall I enjoyed it.
Sorry, it's just, I'm just kidding. I don't mean to trivialize
everything
you just said.
No, it's true. And season 5, I feel like they could have brought it back around a little bit, but they had 12 episodes, and they had to do something to wrap it up.
Yeah.
It's just, it comes out of left field. Right at the start of season 5, you're dropped right in, and we've talked about this before, like with Star Wars and things like that, franchises, you just drop them right in, and you figure things out as you go. It doesn't work for Fringe. You've already established all of these things in 4 other seasons.
Yeah.
And then you bring in this totally new kind of idea in season 5 that's sort of related, but not really. So,
right.
Yeah. Kyle, you can elaborate on that, I'm sure.
Let's just skip over what Kyle thinks. So, we don't care what Kyle thinks.
Fuck season 4.
But, starting there. But fuck now, the season, to go back, three, season 3 finale?
To go back.
Okay.
To go back.
Let's hear your overall experience.
When I started watching it, it took me half a season to get into it. I did not the Monster of the Week stuff. You could tell that there was this larger thing there, but it was really in the background. Then it got serialized in the second half of season 1, and I was fucking in. Then season 2 comes around, and it's back to the Monster of the Week. And I'm like, okay. I know they're going to get serialized again, so I stuck around. Second half of season 2, they get serialized again. Great. Season 3, fucking love it.
Yeah.
I'm in. Overall, I'm in on 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Then the end of 3. I was even okay with it in the end of 3. It was like, it was a great cliffhanger moment when he, like, steps in the machine, he's fucking gone.
Yeah.
And they have no memory of him. Like, that's a great moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is not a great fourth season. I have been watching these characters for 3 years, and suddenly now they are completely fucking different people.
Yeah.
Never to be returned, except, I guess, kind of Olivia, to what they were before.
Right. Yeah, she is the only one who kind of went back.
Yeah, she's the only one who gets her old memories back.
Although,
so like Walter, all the shit that happened in the first 3 seasons didn't happen to Walter. Now they're reliving cases. How would this case have been different without Peter? I get it as an intellectual exercise, but fuck them.
I didn't see it for the whole season.
If there would have been something that, say, by the end of season 4, like they fixed it where it's like where something's happened where now they all return to who they were, would you have been more satisfied with
it? I still would have been
it?
Really annoyed, but I would have been okay with it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have hurt, like, the series as a whole for me.
So,
but, like, really, what would have worked for me is if you get to the end of season 3, he fucking disappears, and then they're like, where the fuck did Peter go? Instead of nothing that happened before happened.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because then you can play up that loss, that drama, which...
Yes. Instead of just a general feeling of absence that they kind of have.
You know,
yeah.
And you know what's funny?
Yeah.
How you mentioned that, maybe Elena can back me up on this because her and I feel the same way about 5 because I liked 4. I was fine with that.
See, I liked 5.
But let me tell you this. I don't... Okay, I'm going to spoil the very end. I don't like the way it ends.
Okay. We will get to that.
Okay.
Oh, we will.
Because I'm going to need you guys to refresh me on one or two things about how it ends. Because, I have this whole fucking thing about how the end makes no fucking sense whatsoever.
No,
even with their logic. Like, using their logic, it doesn't make any sense. But season 5 I liked because I was glad to get the fuck out of season 4. And I wanted this. Like, if they had gone from season 3 straight to season 5 and done away with the whole disappearance of Peter, I would have been okay with it. Like, I liked the story they told in the future. I liked the resistance and all that shit going on. Like, that was fun.
But then you can't have half of the fun characters in season 5 if you don't explain a little bit of where Peter went. And
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And this is why this show is,
and
a fucking thorn in my, like,
and obviously,
everything.
Maybe you guys won't remember as clearly as Elena and I, but and I want to ask you, Elena, didn't they do a flash forward in, like, the last episode of season 4 where... Peter's in the future, and then all of a sudden, the last two episodes, it's back to...
Yes, they did that flash forward somewhere.
Why would you do that?
Where?
Why
that
would you just
really
fucking...
That was really confusing, too.
Why don't you just put that at the fucking end?
Right,
I don't know. I mean, that's what Dollhouse did.
Dollhouse did
that at the end of season one, and then I think the beginning and end of season two.
Yeah.
Kind of explain where they got there kind of thing.
Well, the end of season
Tarantino'd
one
it.
Was like the post-apocalypse.
Yeah.
And then season two was how the Dollhouse led to,
I always wanted to watch that,
the world essentially ended.
That one.
Right.
But so my question for you guys is, in the end, they basically stop the time traveling months from time traveling, right?
Sure.
They basically you get to the end of the thing and they don't travel back in time because they stop like the first kid who becomes one of these.
Well, there was... I remember...
Like, they traveled to the future to blow up their time machine.
And also to stop... Because in the future, aren't they doing genetic experiments to lose emotion so that they don't feel it?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that was more the point, was to go back so they could, like, make them realize, oh, emotions are actually useful in some way.
Right. Well,
and so not necessarily that they're not going to travel through time. It's more that they're going to be more... careful about it.
Well, it's they stop, like, they want to stop the invasion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The invasion going back. But in doing so, they destroy the thing that allows them to travel through time. Right?
Sure.
Maybe.
I'll be honest. After like two episodes, mm-hmm. I like was half paying attention through season five because the beginning didn't make any sense. Why the fuck were these people suddenly, who were, like, supposed to be neutral or mildly helpful, they're all of a sudden the enemy, and I didn't get that, and I was like, well...
Oh,
I guess maybe I should just read this recap really quick.
The Watchers?
I'm,
is that what they're called?
The Observers.
The Observers,
yeah.
Well, here's what I'm reading. I'm starting to kind of remember this now. That basically the plan is to take... this observer, Michael, right? His name's Michael. Yeah, that is September Sun,
mm-hmm.
who possesses both emotion and intelligence, because the observers have intelligence. They take him through to the future to show them, this is the way to go, you guys don't understand. And basically that would mean that the observers were never created, because they would realize that, oh, we don't want to lose all emotion, because this is what happens, this and this. So, okay, cool, I get that. Here's what I think should have happened, though.
Well, no, see, all that I'm okay with.
I'm okay with that, too.
Where I have a problem is where that leads. And that leads to Olivia, Peter, and their kid sitting in the park and the invasion not happening.
Right.
That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Right.
If you don't create the observers, Peter never comes over to our universe.
Right.
Because the moment that led Peter to come to our universe is an observer distracting Walternate at the exact moment where he's about to discover the cure for Peter.
See, time
so
is not aligned.
Peter
if
dies.
He doesn't,
wobbly.
But if he doesn't, but they're saying it's aligned. They're saying it's aligned and that the invasion doesn't happen because they stopped the creation of the observers.
Right.
So logically, if that happens, the observer could have never gone back in time to distract Walternate. So Walter would have never seen that the cure worked, seen that he was going to move off of it, gone to Raiden Lake, traveled through the other universe, stolen the kid, and kept him. None of that would have happened. Peter would have stayed over there. Olivia would have stayed over here. They never would have met, and none of that shit would have happened.
Yeah.
The only thing that you could have said, and they would have to establish this in an earlier episode, is that they're the ones that made Peter sick. Because then you could just say, oh, Peter survived. He didn't survive. He survived childhood.
Sure.
But they don't do that. You're right. No. They just kind of like, it's just like...
He just has this rare disease, and...
Honestly, what they should have done is...
I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's such lazy fucking storytelling, because that's such an easy thing to solve.
Oh, yeah.
I think it would have made more sense, and I would kind of want to rewatch it this way, almost, where you get to the end of season three, and Peter disappears. And you stop, right, because that's a pretty good ending. Or, and this is where you would need a little bit of a season four, but you go right to season five. A season three to season five, I think, makes more sense. Like,
totally.
That's more of a natural progression than season four, where you've got, oh,
where you're reliving
let's do this,
the greatest
reliving
hits of
it.
Cases.
Some of the episodes are fun, I'll admit.
Sure.
But it's lazy, and I feel like they were taking season four to figure out what they wanted to do with their fifth and final season, knowing that that was coming.
Yeah. But just the decision to take Peter out of the timeline. Again, doesn't make any sense because none of it would have happened.
Yeah.
Like, right. It's twice they make the same mistake.
Right. Right. I don't get it.
Well, I would.
That's because it's not gettable.
I'm with Elena, too. Like, the first couple episodes of season 5 I watched, but then, like, after that, I was playing Madden while I was watching it.
Right.
Because I was just like, I'm so confused right now.
The sign of an amazing show.
Yeah. I'm so confused right now that I probably.
But isn't that weird that we had to finish it, even though we weren't really watching it?
Well, I've gotten that far. However.
That's what we call a nerd.
Yes.
I didn't do that with Nip Tuck and Dexter. For some reason, I fell off those two shows in the second to last season.
Oh,
I never
Dexter.
Yeah, I didn't watch the last half
is
season.
So amazing.
Dexter.
She loves
really?
Dexter.
Really? The last season of Dexter?
Oh.
All right. Well, maybe I'll go
it's
back.
It's good.
Yeah,
and the ending of Dexter is, it's a great season series finale, I should say.
Although, I don't know. I kind of fell off when, I mean, I know they're adopted brother and sister, but when they started falling in love, I was just like,
But that,
yeah.
That was kind of, that felt forced. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just to be, forced in the sense that it was just trying to be different. Anyway, we'll talk about Dexter a different time. We're on Fringe here.
I just loved Fringe so much
for 3 seasons.
A while.
Yeah.
When, like, and it was fun every time you went over there, and it was like West Wing season 12 and Zeppelins and like...
Then they started working together. The teams would do missions together.
Yes.
They would borrow because they had the
and
tunnel
like the
and stuff.
Olivia
and
versus Faux-Livia.
I
love these called Walternate.
All that stuff was so good.
Yeah.
Although it's like it's sad that the alternate character doesn't. I guess they don't want to age him up too much, but he doesn't even exist in the last season. He's off doing lectures at Harvard or whatever the fuck he was doing. Like,
yeah,
they just
again lazy last season.
They were just trying to focus
on that relationship with their daughter, and just it's the same kind of thing that I felt with Han Solo's death and Kylo Ren. I was like, this relationship doesn't matter to me because they haven't really built it up to be anything. And then we just, like, all of a sudden, like, oh, we love our daughter, and, you know.
Oh, no, she's gone.
Oh, you know who does it better? It does the same thing as Once Upon a Time. That relationship. They didn't know their daughter
until their
30s.
So quick.
But at least that aspect of the show.
I think I made it through 2 or 3 seasons, and then I was done.
I made it through because I enjoyed watching it as if you didn't know if it was, like, storybook characters come to life.
Right.
So I would skip the fantasy sequences.
Right.
And just watch the real life stuff. It's like when the crickets start chirping again, when, you know, the maybe Jiminy Cricket guy is saved. It's like, oh, this is fun. The second she, like, goes to the tomb, crushes his heart, and the ranger dies, I'm like, peace, I'm out.
Oh, I was out when they did Frozen, and I was like, okay, this is fucking terrible.
See, I stopped before that.
Frozen was terrible. No, actually, I watched all the way through Frozen, but then Cruella de Vil came in, and I was like, she's not even a fairy tale character, I'm done. Although...
She
I went back.
Puppies.
Although I did go back,
uh-huh.
It actually got much better with Cruella de Vil in it because her character is actually really, really interesting the way they did it. But anyway, I was just thinking, this inspired me to, we should have a pod series on, you know how they talk about Bill Walsh in football and the coaching tree he had, all the coaches that went on to other success?
Uh-huh.
We could do a Lost TV tree because Once Upon a Time is a bunch of Ross writers. Fringe, obviously, is. One of the shows have done it. There's been a few. That new one with the... what's his name? Sawyer. The guy who plays Sawyer. I can't think of his name.
Oh.
I think that was also Cuse, right? And Cuse did... not the 100. What is the show that Cuse did? The Others or...
Cuse? No. Lindelof does Leftovers.
There you
yes.
go.
Cuse does The Strain.
That's
it.
See, that's what I'm saying.
And Bates Motel.
And all,
yeah.
Oh, that's a great show. See, that's what I'm saying. We could do a pretty cool pod series, I think, on Lost, and it's not imitators, but the shows that have spawned from its creators, because that's how talented that writing staff was.
You want to know what show? I'm just thinking about time travel and fixing timelines and that kind of stuff. Two shows that do it better than Fringe did that they should have looked at for examples. Star Trek usually handles time travel very well and alternate timelines and things like that.
Yeah.
And Stargate. Mm-hmm. Which gets a lot of cues from Star Trek, too, because Star Trek is the front runner of all of that.
Yeah.
Also, Kyle, you will appreciate this, because I can't get it out of my head. Favorite series finale in recent memory is Stargate Universe, hands down.
Mm. But that wasn't even a series finale, because they didn't know they were getting canceled.
I mean, it ended up being the series finale.
It was even, okay, so even they could bring it back right now.
And
they
like,
could.
It
was
would.
Pick up with the next.
So smart and so well done, so emotional, so just so perfect.
I was pretty disappointed when that got canceled.
I was too. Mm-hmm. And I got a chance to meet David Blue, actually, randomly in a bar. That was one of the first people I met when I moved out here.
We met David Blue.
We did, yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, he was on a here. Show with him. Mm-hmm. He was here too on the lot at one point. I ran into him again. But
he was on Moonlight. Oh, Dan and I worked on.
Okay.
First show I worked on.
He's a cool time. Guy. Like, me too. He's super cool. Show. I was just talking to him in a bar. Like, we were both just drinking and brought up Stargate, and I told him, I was like, man, that was an awesome show, and you guys really had something, and it's a shame that it's not on the air, because
he didn't have much of a career before that, right? Like, he was kind of just before Universe, he was kind of like, he was on Moonlight.
Yeah,
but he kind of came out of nowhere, and
that was kind of his big, thing.
Which was cool, because that was kind of his character too, because he was supposed to be, because he was, you know, the younger
I mean, that was like billed as like the millennial Stargate with all the kids and like, you know, the daughter of whatever and like the young military guy and the nerdy gamer guy, but it still worked somehow. But all of that generation of actors were awesome. Pretty unknown.
Oh, Robert Carlyle is so good
going into it, but there's Robert Carlyle, Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yeah,
I forgot Lou Diamond Phillips.
LDP
people.
Yeah.
Brought in Robert Picardo.
Freaking
Right.
Robert Carlyle.
Victor Garber did a guest spot on us.
Robert Carlyle, he's one of the best parts of Once Upon a Time. It's just fun to watch him.
He is the best part, in my opinion.
Sorry, we went off rail a little bit there.
We did.
Are we done talking Fringe? Because,
I mean, I feel like we didn't even mention
we said William Bell, but did we say who plays William Bell? We didn't even talk about that.
Well, Leonard Nimoy is great.
I mean,
he shows up for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But that was the question I had, but because I don't think you guys answered it well, because we were talking about the soft pod. What the fuck happened to him? Like, it was that weird episode I was talking about, where it was like third of the last episode, where I think Joshua Jackson, what's his name, Peter, goes forward,
right
in time, and he this finds out they're four. They've all been put in that Amber.
Amber, mm-hmm. Which I thought was a cool.
And they showed everybody in Amber, and man, it was creepy the way they found Olivia. She was that guy's coffee table. That little short guy. That was fucking weird. So what happened to William Bell? Like, he was in the thing, too. Like, they made a big point in showing him in the Amber.
Yeah.
And then we cut off his hand, because we need his hand to get into something.
Yeah. Right.
And then he's never really mentioned again, right? Or is he's still
sitting there in Amber.
They
talked about getting him, and then they were like, oh, wait, just kidding. We only need his hand, which is why we cut it off.
So what was the point of even showing Nimoy in the thing?
I feel like something happened. Like, he died going into the Amber or something.
So he died off screen, basically.
I feel like he died. And it had something to do with the Amber.
The best story that you like.
the best story I like is the end of season 3. Stopping.
I don't know. I just, I mean, with all due respect to Fringe, it definitely left way more questions, as Elena said, than like Lost did. Like Lost left me with a couple of minor ones, one major one in my opinion. But everybody tells me get over it. But I still wish they would have fucking paid off Walt more, because that Walt storyline was stupid, making them all super like have superpowers and then all of a sudden he doesn't exist or he doesn't even matter anymore to the plot. Okay,
but you know, the car accident was the alternate William Bell. Okay,
so I knew that we found out
in season 2.
Okay,
yes,
yeah, I don't see anything in here.
Nina.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So in the Prime Universe, he used his body as a power source to get the Fringe team back to our universe. Right.
So he's a good guy again? Because he was a bad guy.
No. So then when Peter was taken out of the timeline, he didn't have to have done that for some reason.
because he comes back. Fringe.
Yeah.
We'll just put it that way.
Kyle, if you ever meet Orsi and Kurtzman, is that the first question you ask? What the fuck were you guys thinking with that Peter storyline? Explain to me. Was there another plan that you guys just didn't see to fruition? What the hell happened?
Okay, so it is unknown what became of Bell.
Awesome.
He was frozen in Amber.
Major character.
Walter cut off his hand to gain access to the beacons that were so crucial to implementing his plan. Bell and Simon Foster were discovered in Amber by the Observers. Foster was removed and dissected. It's unknown what became of Bell. Oh, yeah, the final timeline, because why the fuck not? Because
we have, like, five timelines now? Yeah.
William Bell would still be alive in the observerless world and never have occasion to be ambered, making the SS Talos his last known location during his neogenesis plot. Oh, yeah, that shit.
Yeah, that yeah. was also dumb.
So that was he a plot was basically going to have a third universe to himself under his control, because that's when Olivia gets shot.
No, he was going to have one, because one the universe, universe that he was going to create was going to destroy the other two, right. and then all of a sudden it was stopped, and everyone right. went and had a beer.
I need a beer after this. Sweet, just, merciful crap.
Alright, so, yeah.
That's the thing. You expect, because this came after
Although
Lost.
Astrid was awesome.
Astrid is a great character.
Astro is great.
Asterisk. I liked Asterisk a lot.
Asterisk is just amazing.
And her alternate.
Oh, yeah.
Her alternate was pretty adorable.
Yes.
I liked her a lot, too.
When she tastes coffee for the first time.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It was I like that alternate universe a lot, because I you know, in the beginning you're supposed to kind of not like Folivia, because
right, you're supposed to think they're the evil
yeah,
duplicates,
but they're not.
The doubles.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
not evil at all, and I like that part of the storytelling. They did that really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I like
now,
how it became
God damn
friends.
It, now I'm going to spend all night on the Fringe Wiki.
You should have been in there before that, before this show.
Yeah,
right?
I know, but now I'm going to go in there and see if anybody's actually figured out what the fuck happened.
It's, well, yeah.
Pro tip, they haven't.
I wonder if they ever did a Fringe comic book that maybe answered all the questions or something.
I don't think so, but I could be wrong. I don't know. It just, it's unfortunate, because coming off of Lost, you expect the same sort of magic in a new show, but that doesn't always happen. And I'm not saying that Fringe was a bad show by any means. It's just, it's clear the fourth and the fifth season, they didn't, either A, they were rushed, or they didn't know what to do with it. They knew it was ending, and they were like, oh, we've got all these ideas. Crap, we got to tie this all up somehow, so let's do this. And it didn't work very well. Who knows? Or maybe it was a combination of all of those things.
Is there any shows out there, like, Elena, you saying that this is right up your alley. Is there any shows out there that are Fringe, X-Files, Lost-like right now? Any
that
ones?
Are airing right now?
Yeah.
I'm actually watching Limitless right now.
That's which still
I
on?
I think, I don't know. I'm, like, generally
Limitless
3 years behind everything.
Limitless is the one where you take the pill and...
Yeah. So, that's, I think... That's probably the most recent
thing I found. I don't know if it is, but I want to start watching Orphan Black, because everybody keeps telling me about
yes.
Orphan Black.
Yeah,
so
Orphan Black is amazing.
Is that kind of along those lines, or not really?
Yeah. I think it's close enough.
You know, it's just like, I like those shows that are you know, thrillers, mysteries, all set within a science fiction fantasy world. Like, you know,
yeah.
it's...
Right.
Yeah.
And I think there's a book that my neighbor gave me, and unfortunately I haven't been able to read it, but it talks about how Lost changed the landscape of television, especially science fiction and fantasy, because now everything is serialized. You know, it's not, it's too hard to have a science fiction show where it's a different adventure every week. It's got to be an overall story. Like, even if you can mix in, you know, the individual stories.
Look at Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers way back when. Those were... They might have had some continuing plot threads, but they were a different thing every week. And now look what we've kind of become as far as sci-fi goes. Yeah, it's interesting, kind of the progression of that.
All right. We've gone a little bit over, as I thought we would, because I knew once we started talking about Fringe, we should probably make the whole podcast Fringe. But
it's all good.
Are there any final thoughts
before
we get up on out of here?
It's fine.
I'm on like 5 hours of sleep in the last 2 days, and I have to go out again tonight for my cousin's birthday, which...
There you go.
Fun.
Yeah. I'm really tired. But I told him I'd go. Anyway, sorry. Stay tuned, folks, because we will have an escape pod very, very soon, because there's lots of Star Wars to talk about. And
Rogue One toys come out at the end of the month, too.
Are they not out yet?
No. September 30th.
That's the new what was it calling that? Force Friday?
Force Friday or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. So the anticipation obviously isn't as great as the Force Awakens one, but
I want K2SO, the droid, the Imperial Assassin droid.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought of something. Little side note, and we don't know how to dwell on this.
Because I'm not a nerd.
Yeah, you're not at all. Because you mentioned Star Wars. The voice of BB-8, Bill Hader, has just made me 100% on board for the Power Rangers movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Because he's Alpha.
What?
Yeah. Like, Bill Hader doing that, and Bryan Cranston is Zordon.
Yeah,
dude. The costumes look kind of eh, and the robots look kind of eh.
The armor is cool.
That one poster they had where it was like the five kids like out under the stars by a car where it looks like an Amblin movie.
Yeah.
That is a much more exciting poster than the one sheets that they're doing with the character one sheets of all of them on their what are those things called? The Zords. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So although I don't see Tommy, I don't see no Green Ranger, my favorite. That's all right. Maybe they'll probably tease him as a sequel.
And can we have the original Green Ranger to come back?
Dude, have you seen that guy? He's fucking huge.
He's still ripped.
He's a UFC fighter now.
Yeah.
He's got tattoos all over the place. I love he was the Green Ranger again.
He's super cool. Apparently he's super nice, too. Like, really down to earth and just
cool. He's good cool with the guy. Fans. Of course, he's a little too old to, like, romance the Pink Ranger, but that's okay.
That's fine.
As soon as I found out Bill Hader, it's going to be great.
And no, I'm just saying Elizabeth Banks as Rita Repulsa. Oh, that's
right. She's Rita Repulsa. Yes. Yeah. So they're casting really well.
Which is fantastic.
They're casting really well. So we'll see.
She doesn't know.
I don't know.
We'll see. Power Rangers was at the tail end of my childhood. So I was only.
The first series.
I saw the first couple episodes, first two seasons, I think it was. And then the movie. I think I was a senior in high school when the movie came out.
Ivan Ooze.
Yeah. So.
It was so
hot. You mean Apocalypse?
It was so hot. Oh, yeah.
All right. Now we're getting loopy and I'm getting more tired. All right, we're going to get up out of here. So, Elena, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You're by far the prettiest person we've had on this pod. Guaranteed. Hey,
Josh.
Stop.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Josh is pretty nice.
I don't care. I don't need gratification.
We're all handsome guys, all right? We're all handsome nerds. Anyway, so we're going to get up out of here.
Pretty nerd.
Well, I hope that you come back someday.
That's a good Dumb and Dumber reference, though.
And then and Morehead will hopefully be back next week, but we'll see. But anyway.
He may be dead by then.
He may be, but I will have killed him. Did I say it out loud?
That's dark.
Now you know.
Well, that's stopping the spread of Zika, right?
Yes, so we're going to end it right now. To my left.
Sorry, I just thought of horrible, horrible jokes at Josh's expense. Kyle Bowne.
Diagonally from him.
Joshua Potter.
And next to him, his future lovely bride.
Elena Salvatore.
And I am Daniel Villalobos. We will see you next week.
's for listening. If you want more from the nerds, check us out on the intertubes at thewaywenerd.com. And if you haven't already, you should follow us on Facebook and Twitter at The Way We Nerd, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week, this is The Way We Nerd.